of Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now. In Tampa, call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Questions. We have answers. WBOB, the answer.
Estate plan, which, why is that so important? Because you get to name who the guardian would be for minor children. You get to choose who would be managing the money till they get to a certain age, 21, 25. Some people don't think about what age they should be distributed, but should usually not be at 18 or 21 for a big lump sum of money anyway. Sometimes you want to stretch it out or have it to them at a later age. Hey, if you have a question about family law, car accidents, speeding tickets, landlord-tenant, any question you might have, I'll try to help you. All you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Suppose you don't have a document. Suppose you don't have a will or a trust. Suppose you die, or suppose you even become incapacitated. You don't have any documents done. Well, hey, you're taking a big chance of being declared incompetent. If you're living, have a stroke or an accident, don't have any documents, you're taking a big chance that the court would get involved, appoint a guardian over you. You lose all of your rights. Someone else is in control of your life, appointed by the court. You can simply avoid that with a power of attorney. And suppose you don't have a document and die. Well, hey, the state of Florida makes a will for you. It's called a statutory will. And that means they would have taken your money, appointed someone to be in charge of it, and distributed it according to statutes instead of according to what your will or trust would say. And if you choose a will, if you don't do anything, you have a statutory will. And even if you have a will, either one of those you have planned to go through probate. Because wills go through probate. Living trusts don't. So we'll probably talk about that more, and I'm sure there'll be some questions about that. Let's go to our first caller, Sam in Largo.
I got a question about my house. When the hurricane came through, I had roof damage, and we contacted my mortgage company, and they paid off, but they want to pass that bill on to me, add it on to my mortgage. What can I do about that?
Well, did you have insurance? I mean, you talked.
Yes, I had homeowner's insurance.
And they refused did you try to make a claim with them?
Through the mortgage company.
Well, sir, a mortgage company is just going to lend you more money you're going to have to pay it back. If you have insurance, you should have tried to make a claim with your insurance to see if your roof damage was covered under your homeowner's policy. You contacted the wrong person. You know, they just lent you more money, basically, is what it sounds like.
Oh, OK. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hope that clears it up for you, and hope you make a claim, and hope you're successful on that. If you have, you know, the hurricane in Pinellas County, in Irma, it really didn't reach hurricane status for the most part. It didn't reach the whatever the 75 miles an hour winds or whatever happened all around Pinellas, but not many areas not directly in Pinellas. All right, so you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I have people all the time that come in to do estate planning to my office, and we're talking, and they, let's say they have three children, and they're talking about whether to do a will or a trust, and they have bank accounts with beneficiaries on them. And a lot of times they'll come into my office with an account with that is jointly owned with one child, and they want a will that leaves everything in equal shares to three children or trust. So they think a will is going to control an account that's jointly held with a child. The account that's jointly held with the child controls. So regardless of what your will says, if you own everything jointly with one child, then that one child receives it upon your death through right of survivorship type of an accounts, and your will doesn't really apply to that account. I've had many disgruntled children call me and say, look, mom's will says three equal shares, and but the one daughter that she lived with, her name was on everything, and she's saying that mom wanted her to have it, and she gets it because it was jointly held, and the other children don't get anything. I have some children in that circumstance who will honor mother's wishes, and even though the account is jointly, then basically what they have to do is to make a gift to the other children because it's their money. So they make a gift. And then there's a gift tax return implication they have to go through because they're now making a gift of what, because the way the accounts were titled. Hey, if you have a legal question, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number. It's 877-943-9673. We're broadcasting all over the state of Florida this morning, and we're broadcasting on WeBeamTV.com. You could go directly to WeBeamTV.com, and you could watch us on Facebook Live also. The Ask an Attorney page, the Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page, and my personal page, Joseph Pippin. You can find us on Facebook Live, send us an invite to websites or to become Facebook friend. We broadcast on Facebook Live just about every other week. We have multiple radio stations carrying the program. We have an FM station in Haines City, Florida, WLVF, 90.3 FM. We have Sun Radio in Sun City Center, a community station that carries the program. We're broadcasting live in Jacksonville on 600 The Answer. We're broadcasting live in Crystal River on 106.7 Classic Rock. The station carries the program. Also broadcasting on 570, 910, 860, 930, all coming out of Tampa. We're going to go to Polk City and talk to John.
Hey, John. Hi, good morning.
How are you? What station are you listening to?
Boy, good question. I'm not sure. I'm on the road.
Okay, no problem. What can we do for you?
Yeah, 910 a.m., I guess.
910, all right. Very good.
Yes, I listened to a real estate guru on the radio, and he's always saying how when it comes to rental income, there's a way to depreciate the structure building or duplex where you do not pay any unearned income. Is there a way to do that? And if I'm not working, say I'm semi-retired and not working, any income generated, rental income, is it treated or taxed in a different way? But I'm more interested in, is there a way to keep all the income by depreciation of the building, so he claims. Thank you.
Well, you can certainly depreciate the building as an offset to the income. And, John, you've gone off the line here for me to be able to talk to you and answer you some questions. But really, your best bet would be that's more of a CPA type of question that does your tax returns. And basically, to look at the whole picture of your income tax return and how to save money would be best using a strategy with a CPA, perhaps a financial planner. Hopefully you have LLCs created to have the rental properties inside of LLCs. The new corporate tax rules are very beneficial to people with a very low tax rate, almost half of what it used to be. You can have disregarded entities, which are usually LLCs for tax planning purposes. You have lots of strategies out there, and to cherry pick just one and tell you that would be the best would not be in your best interest. I would sit down with a CPA or a financial planner and have them go over an orchestrated plan for you. And sorry you had to jump off the line there. Let's go to Ken in Tampa.
Hello.
Hey, Ken.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I have a question for you. I have a revocable trust set up by you probably 5-6 years ago. Okay. I have one daughter that she gets 100% of and thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot, you know, little CDs, checking, savings, the quick deed for the other than a mobile home, so she'll get that. Now, my situation is this. She's starting to get a little bit of some bad health, unfortunately. And I have it in my will, or my trust, rather. I'm going to get entombed through an eternal reef thing, so you know, I'm going to be entombed and basically buried at sea. Now, my thing is, when I pass, she takes, you know, she cremates me and stuff. Now, there might be a time frame, like a year, before that they can organize everything to send my stuff up to Georgia, and that's where they actually make these bells to be entombed in.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is that when I pass, she's going to be able to take care of that, but God forbid when she passes, there's nobody else that I know, there's no family members, there's nobody else that I would really trust to take on the responsibility of doing what they have to do in order for me to get to Georgia and have all, everything is paid for as far as the entombment and stuff like that is in separate insurance policy for $5,000 for that. The whole process is all paid for. My question to you is that would it be feasible when I pass to have my daughter possibly go to, let's say, you and have you be put on the trust as the executive, God forbid, when she passes, and would you be able to take care of all the legal stuff to get me where I have to go?
Well, you already on your document, I would think. I mean, it's been 5 years and I don't have my computer in front of me where I can bring your follow-up, but did you name a successor trustee to your daughter in your document?
No, there's nobody else. There's nobody else, Joe.
All right. Well, that would be unusual, and I probably would have got you to think hard to create a backup. And a lot of times the backup could be us, my firm, myself, and then I usually have a younger person as my successor. But
right.
you can have successor trustees and you can have successor personal representatives in your document, and then you can give them, you know, that you, I would make file notes as to exactly what you want if I was the one and your daughter came to me. Once you die, your daughter would probably divest all of the assets to herself and maybe create her own trust. But to follow up on your funeral instructions could be the job of the successor trustee, and she could come in and start it, and you know, and get some help with it, and then ask us to complete it if something happens to her.
To be totally honest with you, Joe, I'd rather go through the legal route rather than having another trustee because, like I say, there's no more family members, so now you're talking about a friend. And the idea of this thing is that they may have to hold on to my ashes for a year, maybe 18 months, you know, before they have to be transported to Georgia, you know, be put into the bell. And after that, they're... you know, like I say, everything is paid for. That's all they have to do. But my thing is that, you know, somebody has to hold my ashes for about a year, maybe.
Yeah, well, your daughter, she could come in and work with us. We'd be glad to do that for her.
Well, what I might think I might do, I'm going to talk to her sometime this week and explain it to her. Not that I don't trust it, what she's doing, but just because of the health factor, because it's imperative to me. I know what I want to do. I want to be this in tune thing, and nothing else is going to make me happier but that. But I may come in myself and go through the. Do you have any idea what the cost would that would be, Joe? Let's say for the sake of argument, if I was to have you or your firm. Be the trustee. Do you have any idea what that would entail?
A typical trustee fee is around 1%.
Okay.
So.
All right. No, that'd work. That'd
okay.
Work. We just set everything aside and, you know, because like I say, everything is paid for. The only thing that really has to do is to get me there. There's $5,000 set aside just for incidentals of getting me there,
yeah.
Hotels, or whatever you want to do with it. You know what I mean? But the whole process itself is completely paid for.
All right, Ken.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, we have a Facebook Live caller, or they posted a question on Facebook Live. Do you deal with workman's comp? Yes, I have an attorney that specializes in workman's comp I could hook you up with. So, Kim, there on Facebook, if you want to contact me, you could email me, or maybe just send me a message through Facebook if you want. My email address is probably be better for me, but if you want to do it through Facebook, that's fine. Email is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Let's go to Jim and Lutz.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Hey, my wife is a psychologist in private practice, and I'm a project manager, and... of course, she has professional insurance, but in the rare case that some client should want to sue her for malpractice, should she incorporate at minimum to an LLC just to protect our assets?
Yes, incorporating would be a good idea. However, a single member LLC in that profession might also, they would typically try to sue her as well as the LLC. But it'd be a good idea. The answer to your question is yes, it'd be a good idea to.
Well, then what's the best way to protect our personal assets? I know they can't get our house, but we have 401ks and retirement. We have, you know, we're approaching retirement, so we got our nest egg built up. And I'd hate.
Well, the good news is they cannot touch your retirement accounts. And no creditor can get to. There are certain protected assets in Florida. Your homestead is protected. Your retirement account, Social Security, all those type of assets are protected anyway. So even if they could sue her and get a judgment against her, they can't touch those assets.
Okay, but how do we prove that an account that we've set aside money for is for retirement? Obviously, I've got a 401k.
Yeah, well, that's
she's got, but see, on her side, everything she puts in, since she's self-employed, it's not a 401k. And then I've got you know an annuity, which obviously is for retirement. Then I've got another. We got multiple funds.
Insurance, annuities, retirement accounts, and homestead are protected.
Okay, good.
So, and an LLC for her business would be good too. That would be kind of an added layer of protection. But there's no guarantee that an attorney or a doctor or a psychologist that does something. Hopefully you have insurance to cover it, but they could possibly try to go after you as well. There's nothing you can do to prevent someone from doing that.
Okay. All right. Thank
Jim,
you.
Jim, does your wife psychoanalyze you?
She tries.
On a regular basis?
I know when she's doing it, though.
All right.
Okay.
You have a great week. All right. In fact, I'm going to be in Lutz tomorrow. Lutz, the church I go to is in Lutz, Florida. Let's go to Mary and Brandon.
Hi, Joe. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. My mom passed away on December the 6th, and I was her agent under her durable power when she was living. And when I used to sign for her taxes. Now that she's deceased and that doesn't apply anymore, when I have her taxes done, how does the form get signed, and if there's a refund, who is the check payable to? I'm also the personal representative in her will. There was no probate.
Well, her tax return was done by you, and what I usually tell clients to try to do is to put on the signature line of the tax form, put your name, and then put nominated. I just put NOM period PR.
Oh, okay.
And try to do it that way. If they want a copy of the will, give them a copy of the will.
Okay.
But you aren't really officially appointed.
I know.
As a personal representative, but I just tell clients to try to put nominated PR.
And what about she would be getting a return? What about on the check?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the checks are going to be mailed out to her estate, so that means that's going to probably force you to do a probate to get
really.
To, yeah. How much
that's
is how much
of
how
that much, one huh, check?
How much is the check going to be for? Do you know?
No, it's going to be substantial because she was in a assisted living facility and she was paying out of pocket for everything as far as her payments and everything. So, I'm going to say a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, it's a good chance the check's going to be made out to the estate, and that means you're going to be forced to go through some type of probate proceeding to get the money. If it's under $6,000, and how much was her funeral bill?
It was prepaid by them.
But how much was it?
Well, I'm going to say
Let's say the funeral bill was $2,500, and let's say the check is $2,500. Because it's under $6,000, there's a simplified probate procedure where you won't really have to hire an attorney probably to get that check.
So if it's under $6,000, then it's a simple process. But if it's more than $6,000, then it's more.
Yeah, the funeral bill would have to equal or be more than the check, though, to make this that particular way to probate it work.
Oh.
So you're going to have to figure out how much the refund's going to be.
So if the check is made payable to her estate,
then you won't be able to cash it until you're appointed as the personal representative.
Even if I am an owner on her checking account, I can't put it in that, deposit it?
No, because the check's going to not be made payable to her. If you had a joint account, that might work. But the IRS is going to, once they know she's deceased, they're going to make the check payable to the estate.
Okay.
And then the bank's probably not going to let you put it into that joint account.
Okay, well, thank you for answering my question.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
You know, I was in a bank yesterday trying to close an estate account where I'm the trustee of a trust. And I went to two banks. One of them, I walked away with a check. The other one told me that they need to send it over to their legal department, which is kind of a standard thing they do sometimes. And I'd get my answer back in 5 days. So I walk in with a death certificate, a copy of the trust, a copy of the account, and it's going to take them up to 5 days to get back to me. I just thought that was an outrageous amount of time to dealing with a bank to try to close a fairly simple account. Hey, phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call and ask a question. Why worry about it any longer? Why not get a little peace of mind, perhaps, and get pointed in the right direction? The toll-free number to do that is 877-943-9673. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can pose your question there, and it'll be put on my screen, and I'll be glad to comment about that as well. If you are listening on on Facebook Live or watching on Facebook Live, you can call the show. Just because you're watching, you can still call the show. Anyone can call the show at 877-943-9673. Hey, if you're listening in Jacksonville on 600 AM The Answer, you too can call that same number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Kim in Tampa.
Mr. Pippin, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And you?
I am well, thank you. I have a question about workman's comp. My daughter got injured at work. We got the papers from workman's comp from the state, mm-hmm. I guess, and we returned the fraud paper, whatever it is, she still needs to go in and get a doctor's note for her job. They still want her to go to her regular MD and get a doctor's note and start the process. But when speaking with other people, they said that I needed to go and wait for the information to come from the company, from her work, to make sure that it goes through the through their doctor, because if we go to another doctor, my personal insurance won't pay for it, and then they could deny the workman's comp claim altogether.
Well, I think that's possible. So what's the problem with going to their doctor?
There isn't. They're dragging their feet. They won't give me any information, and I don't know if I have to wait for a paper from...
Well, are you working and getting paid, or are you kind of not working and trying to go through the workman's comp process?
She is not working, and she's trying to get her arm fixed.
Well, have her call me. I'll give her the name of somebody who does nothing but workman's comp.
Okay, so what do I do about the one doctor's appointment that she has with our regular doctor? Should I just cancel that out until we can get it straightened out?
Well, if it's on a private pay situation and it's not going to be covered by any insurance or the company because they want you to go to their own company, I think probably the better thing to do is to get an attorney involved, to get her an attorney involved for the workman's comp claim and push things along a little bit. If standard answer is you've done everything you can do yourself and it's not working very well, then you need some help.
Okay, so, most excellent.
All right, so I'll give you or her workman's comp attorney. You have to do is contact me. I'll give out all my contact information here in just a minute.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. I think Kim was originally on Facebook Live, right? Okay. All right, so you have a toll-free number if you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Barbara and Weston, and right after that I'll give out my contact information. All right. Barbara, what can we do for you?
Hi. Well, it's a question about perjury and not being a lawyer.
All right. Can you turn your radio down or whatever was going on?
I'll go in another room.
All right.
How's that?
Much better. Thank you.
It's a question about perjury. There is someone who wanted to run for the board of our association. He actually got on last year or 2 years ago, and then due to his temperament, he resigned, wanted to run again this year, and we found out that he has been convicted of felonies, assault and battery with a deadly weapon, grand theft auto, which made him ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
But he signed a paper that said, you know, check the box that says I've never been convicted of a felony.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that be considered perjury?
Yeah, I would definitely report that to the state attorney for investigation.
Is that where I would go?
Yeah, I would.
I didn't know what our first step would
be. Yeah, I would report it to the state attorney. That would be your next step.
You're awesome. Thank you so much.
Right.
I listen to you every week.
Well, great. Thank you, Barbara. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney.
That was an easy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty easy. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. If you'd like to contact her office, we have 20 office locations around Florida. No charge for that first appointment to discuss or review estate planning documents. If you'd like to our free estate planning poster sheet, one of your New Year's resolutions was to get your estate in order, you'd find this very, very helpful. And even if you already have a plan in place, you'd probably find this is a large poster sheet about 5 articles about estate planning. Shows you the different options you have in estate planning. Has little diagrams to help further explain it. That's on one side of the big poster sheet. On the other side of the big poster sheet is all of our offices, addresses, phone numbers, attorneys, website information, radio show information. If you like it, I'd love to send it to you, no charge. We'd mail it to you. It's a large sheet, so we'll put it in the mail to you absolutely free. You can get it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. 3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Any of those would work. Let's go to Mary in Sun City Center.
Good morning.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
I'm good. My problem is I'm a Canadian citizen. I own a condo in Sun City Center. I own it, and when I bought it, I put it in my name and my daughter's name.
Mm-hmm.
And what are my tax implications when I die?
Well, is it in your daughter's name jointly with right of survivorship?
Yes.
Because it could be, if it's just your two names on there with no magic words, I call them after the two names, that would be called tenants in common.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
And if there, you'd have to look at the deed and see if there are the magic words jointly with right of survivorship.
Okay, because if it isn't, I can get that. What did I do? I would go to a lawyer and
yeah.
have it changed?
Yeah, we have offices in Sun City, too, but I'd be glad to help you. But if you find the deed, look at it, see how it's titled. If it's jointly with right of survivorship and you died, there'd be really no tax consequences to you. It'd automatically be hers. If it's just two names on there, you can redo the deed to add the joint tenants with right of survivorship. If it's, you know, tenants in common means that your half would go through probate when you died. Jointly with right of survivorship, there'd be no probate. It would automatically go to her.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, having said that, I would not recommend, for the most part, that you put a child's name on an asset like a homestead. Definitely not. In the other real estate, you're making a gift. So there's a gift tax implication. You buy a $100,000 house, and it's all your money, and you put your child's name on there. Well, you've actually made a $50,000 gift if they didn't contribute anything. So you can only give away $15,000 now. Without reporting it to the government. So if it's over 15,000, so half of 150, that would be, then you'd have to do a 709 gift tax return to tell the government you've made a gift. And then there's really no tax consequence because you can elect to use up part of your lifetime exemption. And that now is $5.6 million. All right, let's go to... okay, so it says... Queston in Haines City? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name?
Quentin Schwartz.
Quentin.
S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z.
Okay.
I got a question.
What's
I sold some real estate in Ohio in 2017, and... In 2018, my Social Security check was reduced. Is that normal?
Yeah, if your Social Security check is based on... Did you get an explanation of why? And they usually, when they adjust your...
No, I didn't get any explanation. All I got was a note from them that my Social Security was reduced and my wife's Social Security was reduced.
Because of increased income?
Because of the income of the sale of the real estate. Is that normal?
Well, I would... that was a sale of a primary residence?
No, it wasn't a primary residence.
It was a rental?
Some land that I had owned.
Yeah, the best thing for you to do is to call and get a phone appointment with Social Security to have them explain exactly what the reduction was and for why and how long it's going to last and when can, is there anything you can do to, any forms you can do to fill out to get it increased again on a one-time,
okay,
on a one-time hit like that.
The local Social Security office?
Yes, sir. Make a phone appointment so they can explain it to you, and you'll know exactly what their logic was and why it happened.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, let's go to Jahus in Sarasota. Hello, what's your name?
My name is Jesus.
Okay.
Spelled like Jesus.
All right, very good. What can we do for you, sir?
I just have a question. I need to do a will. I guess it includes a trust.
You need to create. Sure. You need to create one. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I don't. I need to do one because you know I'm in the late 50s. I travel a lot, and I have two young kids. I mean, I have five kids, but I have two young kids, and I just want to make sure that you never know.
All right. Well, we have an office in Lakewood Ranch. If you are asking me if we can help you, we would be glad to. And we have an office in Lakewood Ranch, so I'll give out my contact information again, and you can just call and make an appointment if you like.
Do you can you tell me any idea about how much that costs?
All right. Well, if you we have on our website, which I'll give out that information too. We have a flat fee schedule, but the fee for a will, if you just did a will, is $125. If you did a trust package, which include a living trust, a pour over will, a power of attorney, health care, surrogate, living will, indeed, the fee is $695 for a single person. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
So a joint trust, the package would be $795.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, sir, that sounds great. If you could give me the information.
All right, I'll give out all my information again right after you hang up.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, sir, thank you.
All right, if you'd like to call and make an appointment and or you would like to receive the estate planning poster sheet, here's the contact ways you can reach us. The toll-free office number, and this would probably be best for him to call and make an appointment, would be 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529, and go to extension 200. We'll get you talking to someone who runs the calendar and can get you scheduled. If you'd like the poster sheet, you can call that same number, 1-800-226-3529. If you want to contact me by email, you just send me your name and address to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. And if you want to text me your name and address, you can go to 727-667-3967. You're listening to or maybe watching on Facebook Live or maybe watching on WeBeamTV.com. You can call our show at 877. We have an open line right now, 877-943-9673. We have 12 minutes left in the show. So, hey, if you are watching or listening or both, you can certainly call in to the toll-free number here at the radio station, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. You know, if you have a living trust, the benefits are it avoids probate, it avoids guardianship, it makes it quick, easy, fast, efficient to administer the estate. It's private. Just having a will means it's a public record. If it's a trust, it's completely private. It doesn't have to be filed at the courthouse. Trust plans for your incapacity as well as your death. So if you have a living trust, you would, in the case of a stroke or an accident, the trustee can take over and manage things for your benefit very easily. Trust is what most of my clients choose to do. We had a Joanna in Tampa. She jumped off. Maybe that's her calling back now, jumping back on. We'd be glad to talk to you and answer your questions in the remaining moments. You have a toll-free number to call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and now they seem like they're all full again. So just waiting for our producer to get the caller up on the screen here. So about a third of our questions today, maybe fourth of our questions were on estate planning. It's a really important thing for people to do or get updated, and certainly a lot of people made a goal this year to do that. Let's go to Joan in Bradenton.
How long is a power of attorney good for?
There's no time limit on when they expire. However, I recommend to my clients that they get them updated like every 3 years.
Oh, I have one that mine's about 20 years old. Would it still be acceptable?
Well, it's still a legal document, but many people would not accept it.
Okay. So
and, they should be updated about every 3 years. The statute on power of attorneys changed dramatically in 2011.
Okay.
And, the new power of attorneys have some special paragraphs you have to initial.
Okay.
So it'd be wise to get a new one, Joan.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Jaina in Largo.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. What can we do for you, ma'am?
Well, I have a similar question about the power of attorney. My mom is 89. And she's in decent health now. When is it advised to have her sign over the power of attorney to one of her children? She thinks it's when we have to take her to court, and that doesn't make sense to me.
No, she needs to sign a power of attorney now.
Okay.
And you don't wait until something happens because, you know, something could happen before you, and then you can't sign one.
That was my point, yeah. Okay.
So you definitely don't put that off. And going to court has nothing really to do with it, because the power of attorney covers such things. It can cover such things as health care matters.
Mm-hmm.
It can deal with dealing with government agencies.
Right.
It can deal with real estate and finances for her benefit. And the purpose of it all really is so she would never be declared incompetent. Because she's given someone the power to do things for her, you know, now. And if you have a stroke and can't talk or become incapacitated, can't write, or you're not mentally sound, you know, for some reason, and you don't have one of these documents, the only other choice would be to have her declared incompetent through a court proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And a power of attorney avoids all that.
Right, right. So to avoid all of that, just go ahead and have it done. And the previous person asked how long they last. Did you say 3 years?
Well, there's no timeline on when they expire, basically. Okay. But from my knowledge, banks and medical people tend not to honor them the older they are.
Okay.
So with our own client base, we send a letter every 3 to 4 years. We send a letter suggesting they meet. Meeting doesn't cost anything. And one of the topics is updating their power of attorney to make it current with current date.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, a power attorney is like $125, so it's not a real big expense either.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Candace in Jacksonville.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just got a real quick question for you. I've run this across a lot of people, and I just was wondering maybe if you could tell me what to do. I live in Florida. I was involved in 2 accidents last year that were not my fault. One of them was a drunk driving accident. And 5 months later, I got hit again, rear-ended, again, not my fault. But because of the laws in Florida with having a no-fault state, unfortunately what happened to me is that all of the insurance companies are denying me insurance. I have to have car insurance. But because of they're saying that I have 2 PIP claims within a 12-month period, nobody will give me insurance. So I'm being forced to break the law. I don't have the ability to get insurance because everyone is telling me no. And I even called the commissioner's office, and they told me that the insurance companies are blackballing me. There's no law that actually states that they cannot give you insurance. It's just really up to them. So I don't know what to do. My family and I cannot get car insurance, and this was not our fault. Keep in mind.
Yeah. How many companies have you contacted?
I've caught over 100, realistically, I have. And they all told me no. They said that they're just not going to insure me because I'm considered high risk, even though both accidents were not my fault. I had full coverage with Progressive, and because I'm a stay-at-home mom, I wasn't able to make my last payment, and they dropped me from my insurance policy. I would have continued to have been covered had I been able to make that last payment, but because I couldn't make the last payment, I was in the hospital. I had to have surgery on my neck. It was a very bad accident. I'm lucky to be alive. But now I can't even get back into the car legally. And I have a family, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I can help you on the radio here in the few minutes that we have.
Somebody said something to me about putting the car in a trust fund. How does that work?
Well, the insurance companies are always going to know who the driver is.
Mm-hmm.
So who the owner is, and you have to be listed as a driver on there.
Exactly. And I can't have somebody else put their name on it, because if I do get hit, I'm the driver, and they won't cover me.
If you want to email me, I will send you the name of somebody in Jacksonville I think might be able to help you, though.
Thank you so much. Right. I have talked to so many people. I really appreciate you taking my call today.
All right. Well, my email is Joe, Joe, at attypip.com.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Candace.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Russell in Tampa.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Calling about a breach of contract on a purchase of a piece of land, and it was subject to a full perk test. They did not do a full perk test and are requesting the release form signed of the earnest money. I feel they did not do it. What is the legal law on that of reobtaining the earnest money? This was through a realtor.
How long ago did this happen?
The 29th day of December was the breach of contract of 17.
All right. The buyer put down a deposit?
Correct, yes. Earnest money, I guess you call it.
And that was held by the real estate escrow, in the real estate escrow account?
Correct, yes.
Gave the money back?
I don't know that. They see it's two real estate, who I signed up to sell it, then the party had their real estate. The real estate company I'm dealing with wanted me to sign the release form, and I stated no.
All right. Well, okay, Russell, I only have about 2 minutes, so let me tell you what.
Sure.
All right,
yeah.
So basically what usually happens, if you contest the deposit being returned, the real estate company then doesn't have a choice of returning it, and basically, since there's a dispute between the two parties, they will deposit the money into to a court account, and then both sides have to go in and present their case of why it should be released and to who. So your next step would be to contest the deposit, the earnest money being returned.
Right. Yeah, that forces them
to put the money into a court account, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, if you need some help with that, you can call our office. I have an attorney in my office that could probably help you with your argument about why it should be retained.
Yeah. Then, can you force them to purchase it or get damage for breach of contract when they?
You might, but an attorney would have to review the contract there to give you that answer.
All right, no problem, man.
All right, thank you.
I sure thank you, and you have a good weekend.
Too. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm going to ask my producer just to get the phone numbers of the remaining callers, and I'll give you a call on my way out of here today. Be glad to do that. If you'd like to contact us to make an appointment or have documents reviewed, or if you'd like the estate planning poster sheet, you can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. If you want to just receive the poster sheet, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You want to text me, I'm giving you my cell phone number now. If you want to call me, that's fine too. But if you want to text me your name and address for the poster sheet, 727-667-3967. Thanks for listening and maybe watching Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Be back next week the same time. So long.